into that motion? If not, that figure of 177.9 is moved. Representative Montgomery?
On line 106, risk management premium loss retention, move that the new number be 7428.3, which is a $1 million reduction. This is in addition to the $5 million already taken by the House. Move and ask unanimous consent.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to ask an explanation on all these, so I'll object to everything until I hear at least an explanation.
Okay, very good. Gary, would you?
Mr. Chairman, during subcommittee hearings on risk management loss retention, director pointed out that he has $10 million in the reserve at the present time, as of today, from prior year appropriations. They expect that over the years, over the next 10 or 15 years, there will be claims against that $10 million for accidents that have already occurred. Again, the legislative auditor reviewed their claims and decided that they don't have any valid encumbrances. They do have some contingent liabilities. Maybe someday there will be some claims against that $10 million. So the first subcommittee recommended that instead of giving them an additional $7.2 million for fiscal 1983 for loss retention, we cut that by $5 million and give them $2.2 million. This recommendation would cut that another million and give them $1.2 million. This does not cut out the approximately $6 million in premiums that they'll actually have to use to buy insurance policies.
This leaves them $1.2 million plus what they've already got in a reserve account?
That's right.
And there aren't any claims against that? There aren't sufficient claims to make you concerned about against that $10 million?
No, there are lawsuits pending, but there aren't actual claims against that $10 million.
Well, how does that work? As an example, suppose we lose the lawsuit and we're ordered to pay. That requires an appropriation, right? If they've got the money in the reserve account, they don't need an appropriation.
Yep.
They've got $10 million already. Why are we giving them the extra $1.2 then?
I don't have a good answer to that.
Well, it looks like you started out knocking out five. You had 7.2. Now you've reduced it by six. You left $1.2 million to add to the $10 million reserve account. I don't understand why. Why don't you just take out the entire amount? Why are you giving them the extra $1.2 million?
That's up to you, Representative Cotton.
There may be a reason for it. Maybe Representative Montgomery or somebody else has an answer as to why we're giving them the extra $1.2 million.
We can also deduct that if you'd like. If we just.
Do you think there's a reason why we should do it?
No, Mr. Chairman, I would ask that you let me give the exact dollar amount rather than talking off the top of my head.
On the $10 million?
No, on the $1.2 million. I want to make sure that we don't reduce any of the actual insurance premium money.
Right.
But it's approximately $1.2 million.
Well, I'd say that it doesn't make any sense to put that in addition to the reserve. You know, $10 million is already in reserve, so pending Mr. Pesca's further investigation, wait till then to make a motion or whatever, however you want to handle it.
Fine. I'd entertain a motion at this time, or if you'd want me to flag that one till tomorrow.
Well, I would like to let the analyst, make his investigation here first before we just slash at it.
Mr. Chairman, I made a motion and we could move it out. If there's a change, I suppose it can be changed. Just to activate the process.
Okay, fine. There's a motion before you.
I'd retain my motion and request that if additional information, we still can act on it.
Fine. Call for questions. Question has been called for. All in favor of the motion, signify by raising your hand. Opposed? Unanimous. And we will still flag the premium loss retention for tomorrow morning. Continuing on, that completes the administration. Pardon me? You have line 88?
Yes, I have one other motion on line 88 on administration. Alaska Public Broadcast Commission, I move a new number of 5769.2. This is a further reduction, and it's offered in the necessity in a time of revenue shortfalls. It's incumbent upon us to reduce, and this is a reduction that's recommended. I ask for unanimous approval.
Object.
I object, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Cotton.
sure I don't insult anybody when I say this, but I'd say that at first glance, a person might suspect that it's a political decision to cut this rather than one of necessity, and that if we can find another $1 million to take out of the premium and loss retention, the other million too, I'd say that just add that to the Public Broadcasting Commission. We've already taken almost $1 million out of what the governor's asked for. We're already below last year's authorized level. I think that it'd be a mistake to take away funds from Public Broadcasting Commission. You know, many communities in Alaska don't have private radio stations. They depend very much on the public radio and TV. And although I know that some people have political differences with the way they operate, I'm not sure why, but I suspect that they do. That often motivates some people, I'm sure, that in this case it isn't motivating Representative Montgomery, though.
I also agree with the same feelings as Representative Cotton at this particular point, because I don't think that a reduction is necessary. Perhaps a reduction in administration in the commission should be made, but that the grants for the radio public radio stations throughout Alaska should be maintained. And I will go along with Representative Cotton's objections to that particular motion. Is there further discussion on the motion? All in favor of that motion, signify by raising your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. All opposed? Motion fails. We're going to take a 5-minute break.
I'd like to move to rescind our action in failing to adopt Montgomery's motion.
I'm going to object. The motion before you is to rescind our action in the last one.
Mr. Chairman,
question has been called for.
Just on procedure, now if we rescind our action, that means we're back to where we started.
That's correct. All in favor of the motion to rescind their action, please indicate by raising your hand. Opposed? We have rescinded. We're back to now line 88 with the Public Broadcast Commission.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Meekins.
I don't need to make a motion at this time. If we're back here, if you'd like to just flag this for later, that'd be fine. I just wanted to erase my vote so that we're back to neutral, because I felt like I voted on the wrong side.
We're going to put a hold on that one. That completes the administration budget. Back to President Cotton.
I'm going to have some recommendations on changes in a lot of these areas on the budget. I wonder if you prefer that I wait, or you want to go through yours now?
I prefer you make the motions now, Representative Cotton. I see to these categories, with the exceptions of ones we flag to come back to tomorrow morning at 8:30.
Okay. One of the things that I'm concerned about is that the Speaker told me today that he's going to get this budget on the calendar as quickly as possible. And the members of my caucus would like to see the finished product or the closest thing to it as quickly as possible, so we can do our analysis and so forth. So I have a sinking feeling that most of my motions aren't going to pass, and most of yours are. So it would be easier for me and my caucus if we could go through yours first, and then after that, then I can get that, you know, the copy of that budget to my caucus, and then we can continue from there with the comments and motions that I'd have.
Okay. You want to hold on yours?
Yeah, I appreciate being able to do it there.
Fine. And you're going to have to probably go with the write-in on the amendments, Gripson Cotton, if we can't get a cut sheet to you by the end of today on the motion.
Okay, I'm noting these changes, though. This is,
okay, very good. We have completed administration. We're at Department of Law. There was no changes there. We're at Department of Revenue.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Montgomery.
Line 4, ARRC, I move a new number of 0, ask unanimous approval.
What's that?
Line 4, ARRC, Alaska Renewable Resources Corporation, I move a new number of 0.
What page are you on? 7.
That's on a big page 12.
if you're looking at that.
Page 12, what line?
It's deleted on page 12 on that one.
It's not even there.
Yeah, because it has been zeroed out. That's the motion before you.
It would be between line 7 and 8.
Mr. Chairman, everybody should be looking at this this budget rather than this one.
Yes. The members that had received those have forgotten theirs in their different offices. So they're able to. Yeah,
who's got that one? No, that's a different one.
Is there any questions regarding the motion? Representative Cutton?
Yeah, I know we talked about this before, and the motion that earlier had been made by Representative Montgomery to reduce the appropriation of the ARC by half. Now, if we're zeroing it out, I'd like to know what's going to happen to the investments that the corporation owns right now, the future management of those investments. Who's going to take care of the collections and the operation of the...
Would you like to respond to that? It's our feeling that on that particular issue that the governor's office is going to take responsibility over on those ongoing deals. As you have noticed in the governor's amended budget, he has also zeroed out those particular sections. And so what they would like to do is reorganize, I think, ARC again, and so the House is going along with the governor's amended budget.
What's going to happen to the investments that the ARC has right now? Who's going to manage them?
At this particular time, the administration, the governor's office is.
Well, I'm not sure they have the authority to do that without some new legislation. I know that there's a lot of money out there that they've handled for us on the PAC loans. They've become part owners in some processing companies. And who in the governor's office is going to be managing those investments?
Probably Dr. Lear.
Probably Dr. Lear. I don't think that's a...
With budget and management.
I think everybody's agreeing that something has to be done with the ARC, but I don't think it's the most business-like approach for us to just zero them out and say that perhaps the governor's office will handle it. I mean, I understand that they've also recommended a zero, but I think there should be more to it than just that. There's several million dollars involved here.
I think the House had handled it in a business fashion by putting $690,000 under it.
Right.
But after looking at what the governor's is recommending, is we're going along with the governor's recommendation on this particular issue.
I think the governor's wrong.
Question.
Question.
Mr. Chairman, I think that we haven't got an answer to this. It's an approach that isn't being very well thought out. I think there's several million dollars at stake here that we're not considering as far as at stake. And you can certainly override me on a vote here, but I'm saying that you're not considering very carefully what you're doing.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Cutton. Representative Bedsworth?
Yeah, if I may respond briefly to Representative Cotton, Mr. Chairman. The Senate Finance Committee and the Governor have been talking about ARC for quite some time, and they have agreed that the current philosophy among the managers of ARC is bad, and they want to get rid of them. And they're going to get rid of them and establish a new organization that will carry on in a similar manner, but with complete new staff and new direction. That's being worked out by the Senate and the Governor. And with the Governor's recommendation to be zeroed out, we know that something at least better than what's happening now is going to go on.
What is the what is the plan? What is their plan as far as putting together a new organization? Is there do they propose a bill that will create a new corporation, or what procedure do they expect to follow?
Representative Meekins.
Mr. Chairman, I believe the of course all the agreements haven't been made and subject to change, but I think the basic direction is to go towards the proposals made by Belden Daniels, which would be essentially to change the name of the corporation to include manufacturing as well as the renewable resources that they've been doing, to delete the three commissioners or whatever you call them, because the idea there was that that whole management structure is totally non-functional because you've got four people in charge, one executive director and three, they're not called commissioners, but whatever they are.
I think they are commissioners.
Are they commissioners?
No,
and delete those and just have, you know, somebody in charge and a board like HFC or somebody else would have that's a voluntary board and a part-time board, but with a full-time executive director who actually does the management of the corporation. And to continue in the venture capital vein that is filling the gap in Alaska where there's been determined that there isn't any money for venture capital, but not to limit it just to renewable resources. I believe that's the general intent, and I may be wrong, but I think that's how I want.
I just got
it. Okay, well, to follow through on what Russ is saying, something that you should be interested in and your caucus should be interested in is they will no longer have the right to own any part of any business. They will be strictly in the loan programs. They will be limited to a ceiling of $2 million to any single recipient and get back down to where the small operations are to enhance potential resource development, manufacturing, and so forth in the state, and get back to more of the guidelines that the legislature originally envisioned.
And it will require legislation, of course, and there is legislation drafted that I've seen. I think Representative Gardner from your caucus is working with the principals in the Senate on that legislation. And I'm not too involved in it. I'm just sort of hoping they all reach a consensus and that we're looking maybe to put it on the loan bill at some time during the process. But it's not done yet, so we were going to take it up. We did have a hearing on it in the loan committee, but it really is premature now because all the agreements haven't been made. So at some point in the loan process, it might go on that bill or maybe go through on its own. I don't know what the procedure is. But it definitely will require a statutory change.
Representative Cotton.
Yeah, I just had a note from somebody on one of our staffs, and apparently there is a bill that's passed Senate Resources. It appears that it will pass the Senate. It will be a new Alaska Resources Corporation. I think that's fine. That's a good explanation. I appreciate it. I don't think that I get the feeling, again, I'm bothered people by asking questions, but I'm going to keep doing it. And I appreciate it. I think it's a good answer. It looks like there's probably a good solution to the ARC problem here.
Yeah. Very good. I want to as many questions as possible. Hopefully the minority won't write a bill in one day like they did last year to us. So I appreciate all the answers.
Well, we've been working on this as long as you have.
Is there any further debate?
Call for the question.
Question has been called for. All in favor of the motion, signify by raising your hand.
Unanimous.
The next one, Representative Montgomery, under revenue.
Yes. On line 8, municipal assistance, new estimated figures, which still fully fund the program, indicates that the figure should be $71,300,000. And that is a motion to change that number as a corrected and that fully funds, but that is the amount, $71,300,000.
What page are you on, Mr. Montgomery?
Page 7.
Still
line 8. Line 8. Municipal assistance. In other words, the new figure
is that
still fully funds.
Is there any objection?
Mr. Chairman, refresh me on the law here. Does the law disallow paying more than 10% of the receipts of the corporate income tax?
Mr. Chairman, no, it doesn't. The law says the legislature may appropriate an amount equal to or greater than 10%.
The law specifically says or greater than.
Yeah.
Well, why are we cutting this in? This is over $3 million. About $1.5 million goes to Anchorage. That's about $250,000. Again, it's raising Anchorage property taxes, and I'm opposed to it.
This is the number that the administration has gotten as their 10% that they receive of taxes, and it's the actual number. And we're just taking the actual number.
Right. I disagree with the governor if this is what he proposes to put into the municipal assistance program.
So, thanks for the debate. Representative Cuddy?
Mr. Chairman, I also personally object to that reduction, but I know in trying to achieve our budget goals, we're going to have to take some cuts and make some compromises, so I'm not going to actively oppose it, but I did want to go on record. That's probably the only cut you'll find me opposing in the budget.
Question has been called for. All in favor of the motion, signify by raising your hand. Opposed? Motion passes. Representative Montgomery?
Line 26, audit. I move a figure, new figure of 2625.3. The original House figure cut funding of the 33 positions identified in LBNA's audit. The new reduction will cease funding as of July 1, 82. The 33 positions appear in audit enforcement and public services.
One of the things that an error was made, we carried them on as of January and should have been in July 1st after looking at the budget and audit. Is there any further debate on this one? Ask for unanimous consent. Audit report number is accepted. Representative Montgomery?
Line 30, enforcement. Remove a new figure of 1,017,001.017.0.
Under which one?
Line 30.
Okay.
What's the number again, please?
The new figure would be 1,017.0.
Is there any objection?
Is it the same thing you're doing up there? You're reducing them from January?
I need help on that.
Gary?
Yes, sir.
That's what it is. So that's about $300,000. So you're, what exactly are you doing? You're cutting off those employees as of the 1st of July this year, as opposed to the 1st of January.
That's correct.
Yes.
How many employees is that now?
33.
No.
Under enforcement.
No.
18 people that then $300,000 paid had 6 months wages for 18 people.
$264.6.
I don't have any objection.
No objection. Figure stands.
Line 34, Mr. Chairman, Public Services, new figure 1,009.3.
It's the same.
Same.
No objection.
No objection. Figure stands.
Line 48, refundable credits. Move a new figure of 1,033.0. This deletes funds for political contribution credit. Funds that remain in there for child care credits. So moved.
There's a motion before you. There's objection. Representative Cotton.
We all know there's a bill pending that will answer this problem. And if the bill doesn't pass, that means the law is still there and the state still has an obligation to make those payments.
Good. I'm glad you said the law is still there. The law states that if you don't put an appropriation, you don't have to give out the money on that particular law.
Let's talk about this for a little bit here.
That's right.
What this does is refund which year's political contributions, Mr. Peskin?
Mr. Chairman, calendar year 1982.
Calendar year 1982. So that means that if somebody's already made a political contribution this year with the full expectation that they're going to get their money back, but by our action here, we're saying no, they won't get their money back. Is that correct? Now, Mr. Chairman, I think that we've been through this debate about three times now, and most people, I think, agree that we should give people warning that the money isn't going to be there up until now, that there always has been funding for this program. There have been a lot of situations that have been described that don't mean to be redundant, but I think that if we're going to make a political decision to end this, well then, let's end it with enough warning so people won't have made contributions with the expectation. Because I know that people have said, "Hey, you'll get your money back," and fully expecting it to happen. Now here we are, even though the law's still there, we're ripping the money out, and I think it's immoral.
Yeah, but we still go back to the law. And the first time around, everybody says the law says, but the law says also that if you don't appropriate any money on that particular section, that we do not have to, the state doesn't have to give out political contributions.
Well, I don't think that we ought to act like a bunch of shyster lawyers and find a loophole to where we don't have to pay these people back.
I don't think Fred Brown would appreciate that.
Well, I don't think Fred Brown would vote for this motion either.
Is this
a question?
Mr. Chairman, I just want to clarify. It is the case then that the law goes by calendar year and not fiscal year, so this is, in a sense, part of this money is for retroactive. I mean, it won't become an appropriation until the fiscal year which would be July 1st, but it would pay for for credits that occurred between January 1 and December 31st, so there'd be 6 months that it would pay retroactive. So part of this is a retroactive appropriation. That would be cut.
Representative Bezworth?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The way I understand it, there are currently funds in FY82 budget year to take care of anything that's happened in FY82 calendar year right now. These funds are for FY83 year, so there won't be any funds in 83. This bill has to do after June 1st, 82, not current.
July 1st. Gibson Cotton?
Would you describe the process by which you would get your political contribution back? If you made a contribution today, when would you file to get it back?
Before April 15 of 1983.
1983.
Right. Mr. Chairman, there are...
You can't get it back. You'd have to do it, but it'd have to be after the 1st of January of 83 as well. Right?
After January 1, right.
Yeah, so...
Okay, then I'm wrong.
We can flag this one, but I would like to note that the governor has also decreased it by that particular amount. So he's thinking in the same line as some of the House members. Yes.
Is there money that perhaps there's a surplus for the current fiscal year that we could utilize for this retroactive period? And maybe we'd have to authorize that, but is that a possibility, Gary? You know?
Mr. Chairman, we won't know that until after the filing deadline is passed this year,
which is
April 15.
15 more days?
Right.
Representative Bezworth?
And we could make a note in here that whatever funds may lapse from the current appropriations for this purpose would be reappropriated to take care of those contributions in the first half of the calendar 82.
Could you, Mr. Chairman?
Representative.
Do you know if there's any I know we won't know it for sure, but is there any expectation of that, or do they feel that they're going to be totally wiped out, or do you have any information one way or the other?
I don't have, but I can call them by now.
Representative Carney?
Well, I can't. I don't see how we could do that. But I think we'd have to appropriate here, and it would just stay in the general fund from last year's appropriation, wouldn't it? And we'd have to reappropriate, wouldn't we? Is it for next year's program?
I think that's what the suggestion is.
I don't think so.
Lapsing funds from the current year appropriation will be reappropriated or will lapse June 30, 1982.
Extend the last
year. Put a line in here.
Yeah.
Same as leaving in the budget.
No, it
worked out that way.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Meekins.
I'd just try this motion out on the committee here. I move that
To amend the
motion that for an additional line that extends the lapse date of the 82 appropriation, so that if there are any funds that can be used in refunding this period between January 1 and July 1st, and I don't know what kind of technical hoops you'd have to go through, Mr. Pesca, but you could just take that intent, I think, and make those changes.
Yeah.
There's objection to that amendment, Representative Cotton?
I think we're moving in the right direction, but the only question I have is, what if they're short? Some people get them back, some people don't.
Representative Higgins?
Well, I don't know how they handle that, but one of the things is that I think that when this goes to free conference, there'll be the 15-day deadline would be there. Maybe before that we'd find out what the real number is, but I think at least at this moment that's probably the best amendment I could think of.
Question?
Question has been called on amendment. All in favor of that amendment, please raise your hand. Opposed? Motion carries. Back to the main motion.
Question
has been called for. All in favor of that motion, signify by raising your hand. Opposed? Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, continuing on in revenue, line 38, child support enforcement. I move that we increase that budget $200,000. The new number will be 3090.2. Ask unanimous approval.
Object.
There's objection. What Representative Cotton should also know is the next line down is that they're going to take the $200,000 out of the office of the commission, so and to balance that. So I just want you to know ahead of time.
Okay, if you could explain what you're doing as you go along,
Representative Meekins, go ahead.
Well, I think the thinking there is that child support enforcement has a pretty good ratio in terms of the amount of money it generates, not only for the state in terms of lower costs and other programs, but also the amount that it generates for the individuals who are appealing to child support enforcement to get some of their child support payments. And they've been real controversial over the past, but they've been doing a pretty good job. And I think the feeling is that to cut them 200 here might cost substantially more than that in other programs, because if people don't get their child support, then what are they going to do? Well, a lot of them are going to access AFDC or General Relief or some of the other programs that are in trouble. So I think that's the concept of putting it back in, that maybe that cut has a multiplier effect. And you want to take $200,000, might be better to take it from the Office of the Commissioner, where at least it's a dollar for dollar as opposed to a multiplier. It wasn't my motion, but I think that's the intent.
Representative Cotton.
Is the Fairbanks and Juneau offices going to be opened under this, if you had this $200,000? Well, isn't that the question? That was the whole question that we talked about when we made this, when we talked about this budget before. So the question was whether or not to put the extra person in Anchorage or open up the field office in Juneau and Fairbanks.
We leave that up to the child support enforcement on that, and Representative Cotton.
Mr. Chairman, I think that's part of our job.
Jerry?
As the House budget stands now, those two offices are to be opened with one person each, but no clerical support. What I don't know is what they'll do with this $200,000. The money is there for those two child support officers in Fairbanks and Juneau, one each.
So we don't know what they're going to do with the $200,000. We figure they might could use a little extra. Right.
Representative Carney?
Pretty detailed budgeting here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Meekins made the statement that they're doing a pretty good job. I have heard nothing but bad reports about this agency. Nothing but bad reports, And I would like to know if that isn't true. I'd like to know it. But it's my feeling that we're throwing money down a rat hole here. That these people do nothing except shuffle paper, do absolutely nothing to help people collect their child support payment. If that's not true, I'd like to know that so I can, in good conscience, vote for this appropriation. Do we have the time, Mr. Chairman, to do some checking on that before we pass this?
Sure. If you'd like to flag,
I'd like to hold that and ask more questions, because I've had a lot of comments from constituents saying that they do things like a wife can't get a child support payment and she complains to them and then they send her a letter asking her what her ex-husband's address is, and she sends it to him, and then send another letter next month asking the same thing. I've heard all kinds of war stories about it. Concept is good, but I'm not convinced it works.
Would you like to flag that?
I would, please.
Okay, that's noted. Representative Montgomery?
Do you wish to not to act on it then?
Yes,
just hold it?
Just flag it. Okay.
Page 42, or line 42, the Office of the Commissioner was deleted in the like amount that we added to the other 200. New figure would be 978. If you wish to hold that?
Yes.
Since you're holding one, you should probably hold both.
That takes care of the Department of Revenue.
Mm-hmm.
We're down to education. This motion is to move on to community schools out of that section and put them in.
Do you have that one? We don't have to even move that, do we?
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, just as a matter of information, I don't know whether you want a motion on it or not, but community schools were indicated under the
foundation
program in the education budget, and I think they really do not necessarily belong there, and I would move that they be placed in another portion of the budget. I think we put them under
adult and post-secondary support, line number 98.
And that's just a matter of replacing them.
Is there any objection?
Where is it on?
It's on Representative Cotton, page 9, under line number 98. There's no deletion in funding. It's just moving out of that particular foundation program component and putting in the adult and post-secondary support section.
What line is it on, short form page?
98 is the number.
It says ABE there. Adult basic education.
That's 96.
Well, I've got a different sheet than you got.
That would be the next one. It would be 98 under That's where it's going.
Maybe I got the wrong cut sheet. Mine's dated March 16th. Is that right?
No.
This is the old sheet. That's
the old sheet, but
I don't have it.
Well, the motion is just to move it out of the foundation formula component where it doesn't belong, and they want to put it through the adult section. Is there any objection to that?
Yeah, I have. I want to just figure out what we're doing there exactly. Oh, that's the doing. Okay. Allison, does the community schools budget, does it have anything to do at all with it? Is there a formula that's used, or I mean, why was it under foundation support components to begin with?
Mr. Chairman, the reason it has been budgeted under the foundation program components is because the funding is tied to the foundation program in the way the monies are generated. But the program itself is not part of the foundation support. It's separate from that, and it's administered by the people that administer the other adult and post-secondary support programs. So by moving it, you're placing it into the area where it's actually administered, and it makes a distinction that it is not actually part of the foundation funding.
Who administers the community schools program right now?
It's the people that administer the adult post-secondary support programs, adult basic education grants, the fire service training grants, those programs.
Does the Department of Education have, have you discussed this with the commissioner earlier?
I've not discussed it with the commissioner, no, but...
Anybody in the Department of Education?
Pardon?
Has anybody in the Department of Education made a comment on this?
No.
Can we leave this open?
Mr. Chairman, I don't object to leaving it open. I think it's a relocation as to place in the budget. It's a pure fiscal management. I don't see any necessity of leaving it open. That's a strong objection. I just don't see any reason. It's a very minor point of where it's located in the budget.
It may well be a minor point at all. I have some questions about it. I want to bring this up again later anyway. I think that there's enough support been demonstrated to justify, an increase as to what, and what the House has already allowed here. So I'm going to bring this up later anyway, so that's fine.
There's a motion before you to move to community schools to its proper category. If there's objection, question has been called for. All in favor of the motion, signify by raising your hand. Opposed? Motion passed. Representative Montgomery.
Line 30, state contract programs.
Page 8 on the form, line number 30.
Originally, the subcommittee had put $500,000 in for vocational summer school. It was an add-on. I recommend that half of that be taken out. We're still giving them $250,000 of new program for vocational summer school. The new number then would be 27079.1. 27079.1. It still allows for $250,000 for vocational summer school. 27079.1 would be the new figure.
And that still allows $250,000 for
correct, for vocational summer school.
What did we take out then? I'm sorry.
Well, we had added originally $500,000, but upon re-examining the total figures, we felt $250,000 was all we could afford. It's an add-on and a plus, and we felt that was all that could be afforded this time.
Is there any objection to that?
Ask unanimous approval.
Right, I understand that. I'm trying to mark up.
No objection. So ordered.
Line 46, Mr. Chairman, Fine Arts Camp. The funds for the Fine Art Camps previously had been in the Arts Council, and I'm recommending that it be placed here, and the new number would be 115,600, 115.6. This is just a relocation to place it in this position. I so move.
Where had it been?
Arts Council.
Arts Council.
Okay, I don't have any objection.
No objection.
Sorted. Mr. Chairman, on
Line 52, the RSVP program, I move a new number of 394.5. This follows the subcommittee's original guidelines of reducing the grants by 50%. It's a good program, but we felt that this is all that would be affordable this year. So moved.
Objection.
There's objection. Is there any debate? Question has been called for. All in favor of the motion, signify by raising your hand. Opposed? Motion passes.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Carney and Meekins.
After a little bit of thought, I decided that I don't want to get involved in investigating the Child Enforcement Agency. I'd like to go back and accept that motion.
At Representative Carney's request, we're moving back up to child support under revenues. We're back to line number 38. The chair will entertain a motion at this time.
Mr. Chairman, I move the new figure under line 38, revenue, child support enforcement. The new number would be 3090.2. That's an increase of 200,000. Move and ask unanimous approval.
Is there objection?
I object, Mr. Chairman.
Did you object?
Yes.
Representative Cotton?
I've got my, I'm reading this wrong, but my old figure was 3003. That's what the House had approved. Now you're going to add, you're making 3090, yeah. You're adding 87,000 instead of 200.
Okay. That could be.
I would guess that it's salary increases, Mr. Chairman, because they're coming out at the same time.
Oh, putting that would be the difference. This,
okay,
yes,
so
this
you're
would
taking out salary increases.
Correct.
And you've added back in 200,000.
Correct.
Okay. I still object. I don't think that you haven't described what the 200,000 is going to do. You're just flinging 200,000 their way.
Sure. So. All in favor of that motion, signify by raising your hand. Opposed? Motion carries.
On the same page, then, continuing line 42, revenue, Office of the Commissioner, the new number would be 978.0. Move and ask approval.
Question?
Object. What you're taking 200,000 out of the commissioner's office, which is about looks like about 16% reduction there, 15%. What does that? How does that affect the department or the commissioner's ability to function and so forth? What comes out of his office there?
Ellison,
I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with that budget, Mr. Chairman.
I saw the analyst here.
That was Gary.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
I think Jay just wanted to get Gary.
Okay, thank you. We'll just hold on it just for a couple minutes.
Had you, Mr. Chairman, had you an idea there, Joe, as to what you wanted to do to the commission officer? You just figured
I don't have it indicated here right now.
Well, whose proposal is that, to take 200,000 from the commissioner and give it to the child support enforcement? Is there any reason to be doing this other than, I'm trying to figure out why you want to do that and what the effect
is going
to be?
Well, two different motions, Mr. Chairman, two different motions. The motions under discussion now is reducing the office of the commissioner by 200,000. I haven't designated the place. I think.
Oh, I thought you were tying it together. That's
Is several things. For example, in Juneau, when you had your discussion on Head Start and daycare assistance, one of the things that was pointed out that something like 90 or 95% of the people that were needing that assistance weren't getting child support. Another factor in that is that under the federal funding in child support enforcement, it's loaded to go after AFDC cases. Well, if you go after the AFDC cases to meet the federal guidelines, what happens is you don't go after the non-AFDC cases. And the result is a woman who's getting AFDC and child support or no child support, if she goes off AFDC, she loses the priority in child support enforcement and, in fact, loses the child support and AFDC. There's no incentive to go off of AFDC.
Gibson Cotton.
So where's the 200? What are you going to do with the
$200,000? $200,000 goes back into about 3.5 positions and increased funding in child support enforcement.
Where?
The allocated by the Office of Child Support.
Well, it sounds like you're concerned about a problem in Juneau.
No, I'm not concerned about Juneau. Is an example of what the overall picture is and what you're doing in terms of all the programs that affect kids in statewide interrelation.
That includes Head Start, it includes daycare assistance, it includes child support enforcement, and a number of other programs. That's a place where you're allocating the cost to somebody that's obligated to pay the cost and isn't paying the cost.
Well, I agree that, you know, the agency serves a proper and a good function. I think we agree on that. But I appreciate somebody being able to tell me why you had $200,000 back in.
Okay. Gary, a question was asked by Representative Cotton on revenue, line 42, to decrease that line from 1178 to 978 and its effect.
Is that the Commissioner's office?
That's correct.
And the question is?
What effect would it have if we decrease it by $200,000 by just looking at where we're.
I really would have to call the Commissioner's office and ask him where he would allocate that kind of cut.
Okay. Representative Meekinson.
Well, another question would be, what level are they appropriating? Is that a separate appropriation for the Office of the Commissioner, or is that an allocation so that he might be able to adjust a larger sum of money?
Mr. Chairman, that's an allocation with administrative services, so the two of them together would be
2.6. Is there further debate?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Cotton.
So the intention here is to just take it from the Commissioner and let him decide where to make cuts. We've just decided that he can get along with 15% less money. Is that what the decision is we're making?
That's the decision, Representative Cotton. Representative Meekins.
We could pose a motion. I'm not sure this is whether the maker of the motion had this in mind, but you remember last year we took a 5%, was it a 5% reduction, and deducted it from the Commissioner's office, but allowed him the discretion to distribute that among the entire appropriation for Department of Revenue. And since 200 is, even if you, of the total appropriation he has, that'd be 10%. Maybe if we allowed him to distribute it, it would be a little easier to do, and I'm wondering if the maker of the motion might consider that. The same thing that did the free conference last year in terms of that deduction.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, that's why I did not designate the location. I thought it would be easier to make the flat amount and left the allocation based by the administrator, so I had no intent of designating other than the category.
Is there any objection?
Mr. Chairman, I don't object to you cutting the Commissioner $200,000. I'm sure they can find it someplace. I think that the reason you did it was so you could put $200,000 into the Child Support Enforcement Agency, which I don't really think that anybody in the Finance Committee really know what they were doing there. But I'm not sure that we're going to accomplish what Representative Halford said we're going to accomplish with that additional $200,000. I'll drop it.
Just call for the question.
Question has been called for. All in favor of that motion, signify by raising your hand. Opposed?
I think we have.
Motion passes.
I think we should do so.
Under, what time is it?
Mr. Chairman, I think, I'd suggest that we recess the floor.
We're going to recess till 8:30 tomorrow morning.
For the budget purpose. We should come back
at 1:30.
To our, let the record show we have a quorum. It's my intention this afternoon to work till 3:30. As we have another committee meeting downstairs. Bills to be assigned, I have one to assign to Representative Cuddy, is House Bill 866, establishing special investment tax credits. Wilson, Representative Speakers.
Before you start, I'm wondering if I could request that you look to adding to the schedule sometime soon the two loan bills that we'll be reporting out of the loan committee to. Just a matter of business.
Representative Meekins, was that Senate Bill 593?
Yes, but also Senate Bill 666 and Senate Bill 322.
Okay. Would you get with
I'll get it in writing, too.
Yeah, share with my staff. Representative Cuddy?
Two questions. One, was that SB or HB?
866? HB. HB 866.
And next, do we know what date HB 370 is going to be rescheduled? It was on yesterday.
Yes, it'll be rescheduled for tomorrow.
Thank you.
Okay. What's our plan for today is work till 3:30 and adjourning. Then at 8:30 in the morning, we've got a joint session with the Senate on Permanent Fund. And then right after that, we'll come back in and take care of our budget. At this time, we're going to take up House Bill 648, 649, 650, 651, 652, and 654, and hopefully we can get through these by this afternoon. The first bill before you is House Bill 648. It's sponsored by the Transportation Committee. It transferred the public facilities function of DOTPF to the Department of Administration. It also creates the Department of Transportation. The Department of Administration is responsible for the planning of all public facilities, with the exception of the transportation facilities. Administration would also be responsible for acquiring federal funds and for energy conservation measures in public buildings. The Transportation Committee also adopted a CS which makes further technical changes in responsibilities. Both the Department of Transportation and Department of Administration have prepared fiscal notes on the transfers. DOTPF indicates a decrease of $24.5 million, while the Department of Administration shows the additional cost of almost $3 million. Transportation states they would lose approximately 236 employees. Administration indicates they would need another 40 in addition to the 236, bringing the total employees to 276. We have the Transportation Commission Committee Chairman, Representative Cato, here, and also Member Mitch Abood with you. Would you please come forward? Representative Cato, did you want,
yes.
At the same time, did you want the commissioner up at the same time, or were you separately? Separately? Okay, very good. Fine. Okay, we have Chairman Betty Cato of the Transportation Committee with Vice Chairman Mitch Abood.
Mr. Chairman, members of the Finance Committee, I appreciate the opportunity to testify before this committee on the bills relating to the reorganization of the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. I'd like to address these comments to the entire package of bills, and then I won't have to repeat them. And you'll probably be glad only to hear it once. These bills represent an interim of work that was performed by the House Transportation Committee, plus work that was done by a consultant through the interim, and also countless of hours of speaking with people throughout the state that have been interested in the operations of the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. The bills were brought about as a result of the follow-up study on five-phase audits performed by the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee, audits performed by different sectors of the state government, and additionally now, a further impetus for passing these bills is a federal audit that many of you are aware of on the Department's use of federal ADAP funds. These audits are performed for the purpose of operational analysis to gauge the relative efficiency of an operational system and to make recommendations for positive changes within that system. These audits have been done with a lot of expertise and a lot of time going into them to find out what areas need specific improvement. However, to date, very little has been done, though these deficiencies have been pointed out. No action has been taken in many areas, and the problems that have been identified are allowed to continue. Mr. Chairman, these bills represent positive changes necessary to affect efficient operation of our largest state agency that employs the largest number of state employees that currently handles all capital improvement constructed in the state. This agency utilizes various funding sources from state funds, general funds, international airport revenue funds, federal funds, and others. In the recent past, legislators, policymakers, and the general public have all been disillusioned with regard to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. They have looked for some reason why transportation modes have been inefficient and ineffective in Alaska. Maintenance has been poor, no new roads have been planned, nothing has been done to take a look at the future development or to look at various scenarios. We're told now that's being done, but a thorough look at some of the reports that have been generated for the regional plans will show that these may not turn out to be as effective, as worthwhile as they were originally thought to be. Nothing new has been pointed out in the reports that have been done. While a lot of state money has been spent, there hasn't been significant progress shown. I'd like to speak also on a topic that applies generally to all the bills that are for you, before you for your consideration, and that is the fiscal notes that we've received for these bills. You'll notice as we go through the bill package that some of the bills have zero fiscal notes. Others have an extremely significant impact on the fiscal operations of the state. I submit to you, while these fiscal notes are necessary and very valid for an understanding of the amount of impact these bills may have, that they are inflated. Even the state agencies that prepared these fiscal notes said that they represent the absolute most that it could cost. For example, we see in the region's bill that the fiscal note is somewhere around $9 million. What this represents is a change from 3 to 5 regions. In the recent reorganization, the last few months, they have gone from 5 to 3 regions. And I don't see anywhere where they say they saved $9 million by consolidating those. They haven't told us that they saved anything. They've told us that they need more money for their operations. So I urge you to scrutinize and utilize your best judgment on the impact that's represented in many of these fiscal notes. One other thing we'd like to mention is that while the bills were presented in a package, they were drafted as individual bills, and each addresses an individual area of concern. And we would hope that the bills would be considered on an individual basis, however, making up a package. With that in mind, with the committee's consent, on Bill 648, we have prepared a packet for you for your information. 648 is separating DOTPF. There is a bill analysis in your package. Also some testimony from Walter Parker, newspaper clippings, a committee substitute, and the fiscal note. Two fiscal notes, DOT and PF. This bill separates non-transportation functions from the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities and places public facilities in the Department of Administration. In doing so, it creates a Department of Transportation that handles primarily transportation-related projects. The Department of Transportation deputy commissioners are all highway people, and there's no advocate for public facilities in the upper management of the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. The fiscal note, reflecting the amount of attention that's currently lacking in the public facilities section, is that they feel that only 8 administrative support personnel, 4 of which are supply clerks, will transfer to administration. There's currently no administrative support for public facilities. The Department of Administration has told my office that the fiscal note assumes an organizational structure that would be similar to the Department of Transportation, with highly paid directors in each of the individual categories of maintenance and operation, planning and program, and design and construction. While these are necessary functions, an organizational scheme may not require individuals with their associated staff to handle the public facilities process. I again feel that this fiscal note needs a good scrutinization. Most people agree with the major gubernatorial candidates that with public facilities, the Department of Transportation, you have an agency that's too large to be adequately handled by one commissioner. The separation of the Department of Transportation and public facilities is vital to assure efficiency and accountable government. And I'd be happy to answer any questions from the committee.
Any questions for the committee? Representative Fuller?
Thank you. Just one to Chairman Cato. On the you mentioned that transportation would be transportation per se. Does that include harbors too?
Yes.
Thank you.
So any further questions? Thank you. At this time, we're going to take up the commissioner to respond to any questions regarding House Bill 648, and we'll do this with each of these bills, Representative Cato. You can leave your information there if you like. I'll have the commissioner come up at this time. Commissioner, we're listening to House Bill 648.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Mr. Chairman, would it be appropriate now, and could I beg your indulgence just to make some general comments about the whole package, and then some specifics on each one? And the comments will be brief because there's not a lot to say. Our opposition to the entire package.
Mr. Chairman,
is
I didn't get the name. I just got the commissioner.
Oh, I'm sorry. Bob Ward, Commissioner of the Department of Transportation Public Facilities.
Thank you.
The comments on the total package are brief and few. The package purports to solve deficiencies in the Department of Transportation that have been identified over several years. As a matter of fact, much of the material upon which they're based was first brought to the attention of this legislature in a legislative audit report 1 year ago. That was based on information that had been gathered over the preceding 18 months as of a year ago. This package purports to correct deficiencies that, in many cases, have already been addressed and have been corrected. So our comments and opposition is really in two areas. In my opinion, and obviously anyone can have differences of opinion on fiscal notes, and so I'm not saying that one, that any are precise reflections of exactly what it's going to cost. But I'm convinced, as sure as I sit here, that out of the seven bill package, five of them will have impact on the operating budget. And some of them, substantial impact on the operating budget. And I have seen, I can identify no benefit that will be gained from this additional impact on the operating budget. I mean, I can see no benefit gained. At a time and during a year when every effort is made to curtail the operating budget. Matter of fact, any scenario that I could possibly imagine coming out of this legislature would have an operating budget for the department considerably less than our current operating budget. So I can see no justification for additional bills that would increase the impact on that operating budget. The second thing, this is the last year in an eight-year administration, a brand new one coming in next year. Why in this time, with the enormous pressure on the operating budget, why further confuse a department by making these sweeping changes organizationally by the passage of this package of bills? As far as the bill specifically that's under discussion now, Mr. Chairman, on removing the public facilities part to the Department of Administration, again, the fiscal note, people can have differences of opinion on that. It is going to be an additional fiscal impact, besides which it's going to place in a different agency a new function that they've never had before, a new type of operation that they've never had before, to solve some problem that, again, in all fairness and humility, I don't think exists. I would rather suggest that perhaps sometime, I'm aware of the arguments of saying that public facilities doesn't belong in transportation. That may or may not be. I have no big, strong feeling about that. But it works all right there. In my opinion, again, it will work there better than putting it in an organization that's never had those types of things to deal with before. And to say that this department is too large for one commissioner to administer, I find no basis in that at all. In terms of corporations around the country, by a lot of terms, a lot of standards, the Department of Transportation Public Facilities is small. And it may or may not succeed, like any other department may or may not succeed, but it will be because of size. As a matter of fact, the statistics are there now to point out that this department, over the last several years, the increase of employees actually paid has been very small, less than 10%. And we've nearly doubled the capital construction program in the same intervening period. And I don't have other specific comments, Mr. Chairman, on this bill, except that someday it might be well for the legislature to consider if, in fact, it's so important to get public facilities out of Department of Transportation. The legislature might want to look at the other areas of state government, the other agencies in state government now that already have a public facilities type of function, court system, University of Alaska, and others to a much lesser degree. But rather than further fragmenting that, perhaps someday that might need to be addressed.
Questions of the commissioner, please. Representative Cuddy.
Do you think it's a problem that the university and the court system has control over their own COVID facilities construction projects?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Cotton, I don't think it's a particular problem, no. I don't think it's particularly necessary. And I also think that if it's that important to separate public facilities and treat it separately, it might be well at the same time to look at all the public facilities functions of the state and perhaps bring them under one.
Commissioner This bill states that it's going to separate the non-transportational related functions. Do you agree with that statement? Is there functions within the transportation that we need to separate?
Mr. Chairman, I don't see the need to separate them, no. There are non-transportation functions, but they are public works type functions, and takes the same type of expertise that some transportation functions do. So.
We all know that fiscal notes are debatable and they're set up by different agencies. We've got a couple of them. One says that if we transferred the agency from yours to administration, we'd be transferring 236, and then administration would have to pick up another 40 to do the same function. Is that correct?
That's, Mr. Chairman, my perception is what administration says they will need, and I have no quarrel with that and no basis of argument for that. They don't have that type of facility or function now, and would certainly need some additional support personnel. By the same token, it's not possible in removing units from an agency to another. Many cases there are parts of people's time involved, and it's hard to make that, as a matter of fact, practically impossible to make that a definite, clear-cut, precise thing. Okay. In my experience, I've never seen it to work exactly.
Is there any further questions on this particular bill? If not, thank you, Commissioner. From the administration, we have Robert Redfield here.
Make one abbreviated comment on the accuracy of our fiscal note. Whether it's deliberately overstated, I would say deliberately understated. Mr. Ward just commented that we don't have expertise in the public facilities program, and we can assure you we do not within the Department of Administration. The only way we can develop these numbers here is to talk about what the program is as it exists now in the Department of Transportation.
Represent Bez, where the ears are just getting bad. Would you wait till the plane goes over?
Oh, sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, I'm having problems hearing also.
Yeah, that's... would you start all over? Some of us couldn't hear
it. Sure, I can't remember what I said.
But it sounded good.
There's your expertise.
My name is Dick Smith. I'm in the Department of Administration. This is Bob Rachel, also in the Department of Administration. Department of Administration has received over the past few years a number of programs, somewhat divorced. That is a part of transportation out there. It's not a part of administration.
Chairman,
I think I can say if there's no further questions.
Mr. Chairman, I'm having no trouble hearing. Maybe the older members would have to come sit up.
I'm with you. Fine. No bombs going off.
I apologize for the interruption.
Hell, I don't know. Now, we've received in the Department of Administration a number of programs over the past few years that we were not familiar with. The most recent one, of course, were telecommunications, when it was decided that it should be consistently gathered within one department and was created by an executive order that came to the Department of Administration. There have been other functions that have been added to the Department of Administration, some of those which we are not familiar with. When we propose public facilities, we are not familiar with public facilities. The only thing I wanted to point on the fiscal note is that we didn't deliberately try and be liberal on this thing by expanding numbers. In our mind, not being familiar with public facilities, nor being familiar with what problems we're attempting to correct, that's our most realistic number we can put together. There's nobody over there that particularly knows how to build things. When you talk to buildings, we go out with leases sometimes, we build TV, earth stations and such as that, but we don't build buildings, and we particularly don't know what we're talking about. I think it's me.
No, you're okay.
The fiscal note We don't know if it addresses what the problems are. I cannot believe that the problems that you're aiming at are to satisfy accounting things that have been reported in audit reports. I can't believe we would talk about that number of millions of dollars and that's the magnitude. The thing that I believe has significance is the purpose of the program. And I would guess that has not been deliberated in an audit report, whether it be by the legislative audit or by federal auditors. We can't add anything to your fiscal note. I don't believe we're for it, because I don't believe we're for thinking that transportation has done a poor job on what they're doing. We have no quarrels with Mr. Ward when he says his staff has gone up at a limit, much less the number of projects. An example of that, we can look at the municipal grants, where we do turn out capital outlay monies. And essentially, that money isn't being used out there as we would think it might have been by releasing it to political subdivisions. We turned out $200 million, or the advances on $200 million in 81, and that's not yet been expended. Basically, only half of the 82 appropriation for municipal grants were essentially for public facilities. Those aren't being built. I don't believe we can expand this program.
Questions, Representative Meekins? Do you have your hand? Is there any questions? Thank you very much.
I would like to say we did make the airplane go away.
Are you trying to tell us something? What's the pleasure of the committee?
Mr. Chairman, I move we report the bill out.
With the two attached fiscal notes?
With the appropriate fiscal note.
Is there any objection? House Bill number 648 is moved out of finance. The next one we have is before you is House Bill 650. This also is sponsored by the Transportation Committee. It established five DOTPF regions within the state, each with its own director. Currently, there are established regions, but the exact number is not specified. A committee substitute offered by the Transportation provides a different boundary described by the regions that contained in the original bill. The Department of Transportation indicates that it would cost up to $9.7 million to duplicate the regional organizations for the design and construct unit and the planning and program unit in two additional regions. At this time, Representative Cato, I turn it over to you.
Thank you. This is bill, House Bill 649.
Yes, 649, I'm sorry.
And you have within you, or in your packet, on 649, the bill analysis. I would like to read the comments of Walt Parker, getting his thoughts are very accurate on this bill. This also is in your packet. This is, I'd like to enter these into records. My name is Walter B. Parker. I'm a resident of Anchorage, Alaska, residing at 3724 Campbell Airstrip Road. I've been in Alaskan transportation operations and planning since 1946. I strongly support the primary concepts contained in this bill. The original idea of a DOT envisioned regional transportation directors who would be responsible for coordinating planning, programming, operations, and maintenance in their regions, and who would report directly to the commissioner. The director for each region could be selected for a background that most suited the problems of that region. Normally, it is bad practice to place administrative boundaries in statute, as this bill does. However, it is not a major problem, and if other regions were created, it could be accomplished at the next legislative session. I would hope that we would soon have another region for Kodiak, the Aleutians, Alaska Peninsula, and Bristol Bay. I believe that the unique transportation requirements of Western Alaska can best be met by having two regions which are devoted solely to those problems and staffed to handle those problems. I also believe that the AMATs and FMATs structures be separated out from their regions and handled as independent entities with liaison coordinating staff and DOT. This would leave Central Region and Interior Region free to handle the state concerns, and the intent of AMATs and FMATs for the maximum municipal control would be further enhanced. In the same manner, there's no particular reason why the Anchorage and Fairbanks International Airport could not be independent entities for administrative purposes. This would ensure that the region's director would focus most of his energies on regional concerns rather than the major units for which he has responsibility. Obviously, planning would relate to all of the above, both regional and statewide level, but it would be planning for systems and not for the day-to-day operations and maintenance. Finally, the structure proposed in this bill would enable the Commissioner's office to be a lean planning, auditing, and evaluating function. This would leave the Commissioner free for interaction with regional directors, other state and federal agencies, the governor and the legislature to maintain overall policy direction. The main point is that the relationship between the regional directors and the commissioner would be uninterrupted by other staff levels. Overall system direction for the highway, aviation, marine, transit, and other systems could be maintained through assignments in the commissioner's office. One thing that I think is very essential that you keep in mind on this bill, and that is in your package you have an organizational structure of the previous, of the present time. This structure shows very definitely that everything in the department at the present time is vertical. There is not a basis for horizontal communication. The new structure that five regions with regional authority, and this is the important thing in this bill, is the regional authority, shows that you would have your various modes reporting to the district engineer, or whatever you should decide to call it, regional director, and that regional director then going to the commissioner. I think it's extremely important that we recognize that these people then will be able to communicate rather than having to go through a deputy commissioner and then to the commissioner. They'll be able to communicate between themselves and iron out a great many problems. Another thing that's extremely essential and important that we keep in mind is that the boundaries themselves are important. But the most important item is regional authority and accountability. The regional director would have the authority to take care of things that were happening on that level and not have to go through a situation like this to make decisions. I think that one important thing that we need to recognize is that many times throughout this last year, I've had an occasion to be in a regional office where things were in a pretty dire situation, emergencies had arisen, and yet they could not put the task force to work that was available until such time as they received permission from farther up the line, either Anchorage or Juneau. One such instance was the fact that the bridge was going out, there was a cat right there, but they didn't have the authority in the district to hire that extra iron. And so consequently, this was quite a few hours later that this came about at quite a few more thousands of dollars. It stands to reason that a regional director would be far more able to talk to the people around him. Legislators would be far more able to contact that regional director. You'd be able to get a direct answer then for many of the projects that you're thinking about, and they would be far more familiar with their region itself and the needs of that area. And I open to any questions.
Yes. Representative Montgomery?
Yes. Representative Cato, how many regional directors were there, would there be under this plan?
Five.
Five, thank you.
Any further questions? No, thank you, Representative Cato. We'll have the commissioner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. The only difference, I guess, Mr. Chairman, of opinion as relates to this bill is the number of regions, whether it be three or five. Our maintenance regions now are five. This bill doesn't address MNO at all, but we do have five maintenance regions. Not exactly the same description as described in this bill, but with the headquarters at the same principal places, the regional headquarters. So the difference then of this bill, and in essence, the department has been operating very nearly the way this bill prescribes for half a year now. The only difference then is that this bill would like to see five regions instead of three. Now, a simple fact of the matter is that when design and construction was organized supposedly along five regional lines, there never was more than a highway mode of design and construction in five regions. No other mode touched Valdez and Nome.
not just highways. As a matter of fact, until the organization has three regions it's now in place, particularly in Nome, Valdez had a design and construction unit full there, but on highways only. But Nome had a very little in design, but some construction element. Now, both of our those regions now in the present organization do provide for a construction activity and some design in those regions still. However, if a region is going to have, and if all five regions are going to have full responsibility for all modes, as the three regions do now, and it's very important that they do have full responsibility, they need an enormous amount of support. They need support from right-of-way people, from lab people, from materials people, all of the support that is required so that they can solve the problems that they identify in their own regions with their own work. And so it's just a matter then, Mr. Chairman, of whether the need justifies the additional costs and substantial additional costs to put those support people in the regions to provide that strong regional concept of five regions. And it is my opinion, my firm opinion, that the workload in those regions does not justify, and they're high-cost areas, both of them, to start with, and just from the salary scales, they're high-cost areas. And the workload does not justify the substantial additional cost required to go to five regions rather than three. There are still the five maintenance regions. And that was a maintenance problem last year that Representative Cato speaks to, and it was handled very, very well. And the director, the maintenance director that we have in Valdez, is superb. And he works very well for the people in Valdez and for his region and for the department.
Questions. Would you state those, you said you have three regions in place and this takes up to five. What is the two extra high cost areas that we're also discussing?
Nome and Valdez.
So any further questions, Representative Pettisworth?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner, when the governor issued the executive order that established these departments, didn't he intend that there be deputy commissioner level positions in these three regions that you referred to?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Bedsworth, I find no evidence anywhere that suggests that was the case. Strong regional presence, yes. I've never seen any reference to a deputy commissioner in those regions.
If I may, Mr. Chairman.
Continue.
Currently, you have one deputy commissioner, is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, we have four deputy commissioners. There's only one that resides outside of Juneau.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay. Regionalized deputy commissioner is what I meant.
Well, he's not a regionalized deputy commissioner. He's a statewide deputy commissioner. He happens to reside in Anchorage, which in my opinion is a mistake, but that was done before I got here. But at any rate, that's the way it works.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Okay, is there any further questions? Thank you, Commissioner. What's the pleasure of the committee? You have before you House Bill number 649 with a fiscal note of $9.7 million before you.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Montgomery?
I move that we report House Bill 649 out with the attached fiscal note.
Why don't you report a committee substitute for House Bill number 649 transportation with fiscal note?
Okay. That motion, thank you.
Any objection? House Bill number 649 is moved out of finance. Your next one is House Bill 650. The committee had previously considered House Bill 650. A proposed committee substitute is in your file. This is also sponsored by the Transportation Commission. It requires the capital improvement projects proposed by the legislature be funded in two phases. The first phase of funding will be used to determine the project's feasibility in a complete pre-design work. The second phase appropriation would be for construction, appropriations for emergency projects, or for those that do not require detailed planning are not subject to this two-phase funding process. The Department of Transportation fiscal note indicates zero fiscal impact on this. Representative Cato.
Thank you, Representative Adams. This is the two-phase funding that we've been talking about.
the subcommittee had it in under consideration. They did not have the committee substitute. They do now have it. And the change in that was to add pre-engineering. And I think there was one other question. Oh, I've got it right in front of me. And to take out of that bill a project that is determined by the governor. These are the only two changes in the committee substitute. I think this is an excellent bill. It would very definitely help the legislature in determining capital improvement projects. One thing that it would bring forth to the situation is the fact that you would be able to have a true cost by the time the pre-engineering was done. And you could fund your project in the first phase. Then if something came up in that phase that it wasn't feasible or that it was feasible to go ahead, you would have an actual accurate amount of what that project would cost to construct, and then you could have the second phase go into effect then, and you would appropriate then for the actual construction project. I know many times we've, and the Department of Transportation has had a severe handicap against them because they could not give us a true and accurate figure through no fault of the department's. It simply was impossible until a certain amount of groundwork had been done on a project. And I heartily recommend this bill.
You heartily?
Heartily.
Oh. Heartily. Is there any questions? No, thank you. Representative Meekins?
Mr. Chairman, I had some problems with the original draft, and we were then assigned by you to a subcommittee to work with Representative Cato. We also worked with members of her staff and also the director of the finance.